Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. This segment is all three, art, culture, and history. It's a conversation with northern Minnesota writer and author Michael Muirs about his first novel, The Road to Panema, The Teachings of Larry Stilday.
The word for elder in Ojibwe is Gichiaya, which literally means great being. The word for female elder is Mindamoye, which literally translated is person who holds things together. And the word for male elder is Akiwenzi, which literally means earth protector. Now, if you've got words like that for your elders, you don't have to tell your youngsters to respect their elders.
It's in the language.
It's in the language.
Michael Muirs has worked in public relations for the Red Lake Band of Ojibwe for over 20 years. It's given him a unique experience of an outsider in a sovereign nation.
I found myself in this culture, this different culture, right in my own backyard.
As he learned more about this culture, he also learned about himself. And over the years, he learned about and from a man named Larry Stilday. Michael's written his first book, The Road to Panema, The Teachings of Larry Stilday.
Larry Stilday had been gone for quite some time and returned to the reservation with a Louisiana Belle, his new wife. And his father was a medicine person and much of his family, and he started studying that. And all of a sudden, he was purposely reaching out to all colors. He all colors of the medicine wheel,
yeah,
is the way he put it.
You decided it was important to get Larry Stilday's teachings on paper for the world to read.
Yeah. I guess I realized more, like a person always does when somebody dies, that wow, they really had something to offer. He had a way about him that was almost poetic. He could get across concepts in a very few words. He did not try and explain things too much. He figured that you either understand this or you don't. So I found myself, because of the work I do with Red Lake, that he would be offering invocations and things like that. I found myself in his company an awful lot. And because I liked what he said, I wrote things down and I wrote stories about him and I attended healing lodges. He started doing these PowerPoints. He got a little bit of trouble with the other elders at Red Lake. They said he wasn't supposed to do that, but he said, how else are we going to share it? There's 19 of his PowerPoint teachings in here in a narrative form. I did that because I think it reads better. Also, I didn't want anybody stealing it.
What's the reaction been from the Native community for writing, for you sharing these?
Well, you know, I've had very good response from first speakers, people whose English is a second language, so the Mede people. I've had a very good reaction from his family, his sons, from his widow, from his sisters.
What is the name, Road to Panema?
Panema is known as Obashing to first speakers. Panema is a unique place in a unique place. The Red Lake Reservation, there's only one other reservation in the United States that did not cede its land to the United States. The federal government spent 7 days there trying to lot that land up there, but they had seven foresightful chiefs who insisted. They said, no, this land will be held in common, and they never ceded that land to the United States. So because of that and its relative isolation, culture and language has survived there like maybe nowhere else other than the Southwest. And Canada, of course. And if you look, the Red Lakes look like lungs if you were to turn them on their side. There's a sternum,
yes,
if you will, a peninsula that goes in between the Red Lakes and goes from east to west. And at the end of that peninsula is Panema. And I don't think there was even a road there other than a path for, you know, till the 40s or 50s. And people went there by boat or they walked. So consequently, the culture and language survived more than anywhere else. According to the United States Census, Panema is the most Indian census designation in the United States. It's 99.2% American Indian. Most people there, if they don't speak it, they understand it. They practice the old ways. They practice the old Bedouin worldview. A Christian church has yet to survive there. Several have attempted over the years, but none has survived. So it's a unique place. And Larry was from Panema. So.
And he left and came back.
First, he went off to the United States Army and served in Vietnam. Then he came back and he spent some time in the Twin Cities and other places. And obviously got down to New Orleans or Louisiana.
Found his lady love.
Yeah, found his lady love.
And brought her to Panema.
Brought her to Panema, yeah.
Which is not something some women maybe would want to do.
Well, especially a gal from Louisiana who says, y'all.
Talk about from as far south. To as far north as you could get.
But they were in love, you could tell. You never saw one without the other. You really never did. They were great.
What do you hope people take away from this book?
I think we're all primally tribal people, if you go back far enough. I'm Irish. You only got to go back 1,000 years or so before you're a tribal person. What I hope is that people will rediscover that primal part of themselves, because I think it's important for us to have a respect for all living things. I think that American Indians are much closer to that, but not all are. They've forgotten too, or they were forced to not pay attention to their culture and language. But now it's being kind of revitalized. They're going to come up to it easier because I think that even American Indians who aren't familiar with their culture in that sense, that it's going to come easier because their grandparents probably thought that way, and so they were going to pick that up. European Americans, on the other hand, were further away from this kind of thing in time and space. That we came here and we committed genocide, really. We destroyed a culture. And to me, we should have assimilated with these people. If you and I were to move to France tomorrow, in a week we'd be wearing berets, eating in sidewalk cafes and speaking French, you know. But
right.
We didn't do that here. But they had a very sophisticated culture. The Ojibwe language is much more complex than any language I've ever studied. What I hope to see this country assimilate a little bit with the culture of the land, I think there's something to be learned there. Out in Washington State, I'm not sure they call it DNR, but whatever their DNR equivalent is, have called on the indigenous peoples out there, and they're working together. We've got science and indigenous knowledge working together, which seems to make a lot of sense to me, because these folks have got thousands of years of dealing with the water and the land, and so they've decided to work together. And I would like to see that happen. We're not going to go back to living in wigwams, but what Larry would say is the prophecies have said that we have another opportunity to bring all four colors of the medicine wheel together and share their knowledge. We all have our gifts, and each person has a gift, and we have to find that gift, and we have to practice that gift. We have to share that gift. And so all four colors need to come together, share their gifts to become a better community, and then a better country, and then a better world. And so, yes, he'd include anybody. As a matter of fact, I received a spirit name and ceremony from Larry about a year before he died. Mm-hmm. And he called me up a couple days before the naming ceremony, and he said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, you need between 2 and 8 sponsors," kind of like, I suppose, godparents or that, a ceremonial kind of thing. I didn't know who was going to be there because he was going to have one of these healing lodges, and the only two people that I knew for sure were going to be there was my wife Barbara and my friend Barry Babcock. And so I said, "Well, my wife and Barry." And then all of a sudden it hit me. I said, "Oh, wait a minute, do I need a couple of Indians?" It was quiet for a second, and he said, "It's not about Indians, it's about people." And I felt like, I like that. I like that. And sometimes I'd ask him stupid questions, he'd ignore me, which was a lesson in itself, because, well, I guess I do know the answer to that question. Why am I asking it? And he never felt offended. He was just a gentle and humble person, a good man, and I miss him. But he continues to teach me.
That's Michael Muirs. His spirit name is Badanaquad. It means gathering cloud. He's using his gift of words and communications to build bridges between cultures. Michael Muirs' book, The Road to Panema, The Teachings of Larry Stilday, is available now. I'm Katie Carter. You're listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio.